All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Those Jesus people is on. Robin Aroney is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Buckeye.1968 is on. Judy Anita is on. Praise Holler is on. Deb Plan is on. Chopper Supernut is on. John Phillips is on. General Plowman is on. Lady Vu is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Linemanson is on. Judy Anita is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Snod Dodd is on. Mike Griffith is on. General Plowman is on. Malamute Lover is on. Robin Aroney is on. Salty Gonads is on. JD Joy 25 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Paul's NYC is on. Bill F1 is on. D9597 is on. Let me see here. Granite 2468 is on. Nene's wife is on. Stefan is on. Jim Brody is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Black Bart 201 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Todd Suff is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Sheila K is on. Goosey 600 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Let me see who did I miss. Anybody? Grinnerton is on. The one and only Salty Gonads is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Lady Vu is on. Daynow 59 is on. Luann 5 is on. Lita Bonita is on. Let me see here. One Fast Rob is on. Greg 9 Mon is on. LA 106 Times is on. I right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. I really, really do. I hope you know that. Let's hop right into this. Let's do the Trump economy section of the show to start off with. Lot of accomplishments. It's adding up now. Get this. I way undershot it the other night. I said $7 trillion. The estimates now are that Trump has raised $10 trillion in both foreign and domestic investment into the United States economy. Peter St. Ange video, inflation hits a four-year low. Play for me.
Inflation just hit a four-year low, so much for that tariff hyperinflation. Gas is down, groceries are down, eggs dropped 13%, the second biggest drop on record. This all took wages to their fastest growth since March of 2021, the very beginning of Joe Biden's reign of error. Even CNN admitted the good news, saying, quote, "It's an unexpected development that's defying economists' expectations. Maybe they need better economists." Regime mouthpiece NBC News responded by launching a new food price tracker, which is fun because inflation almost always rises thanks to the Fed, so they're hoping to ding Trump when they never ran a tracker during Joe Biden's 9% inflation. The new numbers take Trump's annualized inflation to just 1.6% in his first 3 months. That's about half Joe Biden's last 18 months, is about one quarter Biden's final annualized number on inflation. In fact, ironically, 1.6 is exactly the same number inflation was when Trump left office last time, defying economists' expectations. Breaking it down, over half the inflation that we did see was from shelter, where the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses a weird lag shadow number that means most of it is actually left over from Joe Biden. There was literally zero inflation in goods. Those were supposed to soar on tariffs, which came at the beginning of the month. For the specific things most hit by tariffs, China-heavy household furnishings were up 1%, but clothing was actually down. New cars were also flat. They're mostly made in Canada and Mexico. So we got 145% tariffs, and that came to between 1% and nothing. Happily, used car prices were down a half point, that's annualized 6%, which I'm hoping is self-deportations flooding the used car markets. The big one was groceries, down almost a half percent on the month, that's 5% annualized, led by plunging egg prices because Donald Trump stopped killing chickens, but also drops in fruits and veggies, bakeries and dairy, pretty much everything but booze. The Tame report gave color to the ongoing battle between Donald Trump and Jerome Powell over interest rates, which the Fed jacked up to fix Biden inflation that apparently Donald Trump just fixed. Last week, Charles Payne noted how China's central bank is moving heaven and earth in the tariff war. So they're cutting rates, dumping money, buying assets, whilst Jerome Powell sits back and does nothing. For 3 months now, Trump has delivered inflation numbers that are below the Fed's target, meaning normally they'd be looking at interest rate cuts. Meanwhile, for 112 years, the Fed cuts obediently whatever policy needs it, whether for war, stock market crashes, or COVID lockdowns, but not tariffs that Jerome Powell admitted would be at most a point or two one-time hit to prices. Former Fed member Kevin Warsh, Trump's likely replacement for Powell, has been very vocal about this, saying if the Fed cannot handle a couple points one time, it sends a message to markets that the Fed is impotent. More likely, of course, Jerome just doesn't like Trump personally, probably doesn't like tariffs, and is trying to usurp the democratically elected president to run the country as an unelected Wall Street bureaucrat. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Just 3 months in, Trump's ended Bidenflation, even with tariffs that were supposed to do the hyperinflation. He's growing wages. They've already made back a quarter of the ground lost under Biden, and he's brought a historic avalanche of foreign investment to get inside that big, beautiful tariff umbrella, all with zero help from the Fed. A new podcast drop rounding.
All right, so there you go. So this is the stats on this inflation right now, 0.2%. Biden's high, 9%. Wages are the wages are their highest since March of 2021. What coincided with March of 2021? Well, that's where Biden's policy started to take effect and our economy crashed. 1.6% inflation in Trump's first 100 days, which is exactly the same percentage as when he left office. Isn't that strange? So Trump has 4 years, 17, 18, 19, and 20. He leaves office with a 1.6% interest rate. That's, by the way, that's post-2020. That's January of 2021. That's after the pandemic. So he leaves. He actually has the same inflation rate as when he left. So what goes wrong? So, I mean, what happened? So you got all those years, 17 through 21, with very low inflation rates, great economy, record stock markets, record low unemployment. And then for 4 years, we get up to somewhere between 3 and 9% inflation. I wonder what it is. It's leftist policies. I mean, again, and I know that some of you probably get really sick of hearing this. I just can't imagine what anybody even runs on. If you're Hakeem Jeffries, if you're any Democrat, if you're Jasmine Crockett or AOC, what do you run on? Look at what we've done. What you've done is an absolute financial, economic travesty, not to mention moral travesty that I don't have time to get into at the border, which we will get to, and abortion and everything else. But what do you run on? When you were in office, inflation was 3 to 9%, and it really hovered between 6 and 9% most of the time. Record high grocery prices, hyperinflation, record high gas prices. And then lo and behold, Trump comes in office, and really, I mean, he signs some EOs, and lo and behold, it's 1.6%. Inflation is 1.6% on average for his first 110 days. And I love this too, where Peter St. Ange was talking about how the mainstream media puts out an inflation tracker for Trump, but none for Joe Biden, none for Hussein Obama. They put up that tracker is going to look pretty dismal for them because there's nothing really to track since inflation is 0.2%. And all the sky was going to fall. And again, Hakeem Jeffries, Donald Trump has destroyed our economy. Has anybody seen any destruction? You have record employment in April, 577,000 new jobs. Egg prices that are that took their biggest drop since 1984. You know what's really simple about manipulating egg prices, if you want to call it manipulation? You simply don't kill chickens. That's what you don't do. I mean, it's very easy. Again, how are you even a Democrat? How is anybody? And I know there's not probably no Democrats watching this podcast, but anyway, not very long anyway. I mean, how can you possibly be a Democrat? You sat there and you culled 66 million chickens in the United States of America. The egg prices went up. And then Liz Warren comes out and calls it price gouging. You kill all the chickens. So yeah, here's the thing with Democrats. They don't understand. They'll go, you know what? I don't need oil companies. I don't need big oil. I got a gas station here. That's how Democrats think. They're sitting there going, well, what price gouging causing egg prices to go up? Imagine coming out and saying that, knowing that you culled 60 million chickens from the bird flu, which they all recover from. Again, it's almost like a COVID survival rate. 99.9% of chickens survive the bird flu and then have a natural built-up immunity, but it's used by the globalist to cull the chickens so that they control and manipulate the food market. That's exactly, and again, this is what they planned on. They thought Kamala was going to win. They thought for sure she was going to win. She didn't even have a conciliatory speech, a defeat speech. She didn't have any of those. She didn't have it ready. She thought for sure they're going to win. They're going to continue to kill all the chickens so that Billy can come in with his fertilizer manipulation, his private farmland, the private farmland that he's bought, and they're going to manipulate food markets. That's the way it always is. That's what you're seeing going on in South Africa. Did everyone realize that 33%? Of the white farmers, the Afrikaners, are gone since 1997. That's an awfully big drop. That's a Holocaust, folks. 33% are gone, either killed or left. And this is what they want to do. You had Mark Rutte from now the WEF. I think he actually moved on to the United Nations. Whatever. But Mark Rutte, the former prime minister of the Netherlands, tried to take over 40% of private farms. That's just the same as South Africa, just without killing the farmers for now. Groceries down 5% under Trump. And then the sky was supposed to fall. Hakeem Jeffries said, our economy is destroyed. Joe Biden said on The View, this is the worst first 100 days in presidential history. And they all said it was because the Chinese market was going to tank our market. Well, just one of the key elements of the Chinese market is Chinese from China into America market is furniture. Yes, here's the impact of the Trump tariffs. Are you ready? Now the furniture went up 1%. It went up 1% because China will never let it go up too high because they're going to manipulate their currency so they have an economic collapse, which they're in the middle of right now, which made them rush to the table. And all the while, Jerome Powell from the Fed does absolutely nothing. He's responded to every other sort of crises or every sort of economic upturn or downturn with interest rate manipulations, and he does absolutely nothing for Trump because it's a personal vendetta. Because he's just another gelding boy who's never taken any drastic steps his whole life. He's never taken any chances, probably scared to death of his wife. So he's like jealous of actual masculine non-beta alpha men. All right, so let's go to the next one. That guy, my Kyle Becker video. So here's Trump going now to the UAE. And look at this. Look at this greeting that he got. And let's find one of Joe Biden ever getting a greeting like this. And even if he did, look how awkward Joe Biden is in the midst of the greeting. Play it for me. Roll back to the beginning, guys, and just roll hit it. I mean, again, we've been told by the Democratic Party they were an international laughingstock as Trump secures internationally and domestically, but majorly internationally. He secures $10 trillion so far. I mean, he's just talking about in the last 2 days, he secured $4 trillion in foreign investment into the United States of America. Part of that coming from the UAE. And then the other countries also like Qatar. But anyway, so here you are. I thought we were an international laughingstock. I mean, did everybody hear that? Aaron said it's like the Beatles. Everybody hear that? Aaron, hit it right now. Just go ahead and hit the volume. Did you hear that? Listen to this. Again, you can mute it. So, I mean, again, when did you ever hear this for Joe Biden? I thought we were an international laughingstock. I thought we had no respect around the globe. I thought that was the case. It's all lies. Everything that you hear coming from the left and rhino Republicans like John Thune and Tom Tillis, because we need to always delineate between the two. We really do, too, because here's the thing. Actually, it's the non-delineation between the two. Here's the two that you need to delineate against. This is the line of demarcation. MAGA, Republicans, and everybody else in America I'm talking about. And that's it. If you're not a MAGA Republican, you're actually, and I'm not, it has nothing to, listen, this is the greatest president in the history of the United States, without question. I'm just saying, it doesn't have necessarily, it has to do with the man because the man is what brings forth the policies. But it's the policies. We believe in the policies. So it's MAGA Republicanism with the attitude of Donald Trump. So it's not nothing about, it's a lot of people, it's nothing about Trump, it's about the policies. No, it has to do with Trump because you have to have that masculine alpha attitude. So it does have something to do with them, but it's mainly the policies. And the people that all hate Trump, like the Tom Tillis's and the John Thunes and the Lindsey Graham's of the world, you know, the Mitch McConnell's of the world, the Mitt Romney's of the world, and every Democrat on the globe, they hate him because they're jealous of him, because they wish that they had his courage. They wish that they had his testicular fortitude. They don't have it. And they wish that they did. Male and female, they wish they had what Trump had. That they would actually take chances. That they would actually build the New York skyline. They didn't ever do it. So for me, I'm an admirer, and I go, you know what? The guy's doing a fantastic job. And obviously, look at this place. When did you ever see anything like this for Joe Biden? You have to ask yourself if you're a leftist, why? Why didn't we get this when Joe Biden was in office? Why didn't Joe Biden get this? Because they had no respect for him. None. Because they knew he was a gelding beta male. They had no respect for him. They knew they were going to bend him over. They knew they were going to get whatever they wanted. They started their war in Ukraine. I'm talking about the bourgeois leftist global elitist, which obviously a lot of times the Arab nations are manipulated by. And these are not great people, by the way. They're not, but Trump's like, I have to do business with him. You know, you'll have like the John Boltons of the world. He's like, bomb everybody. John, of course, never fights in any wars, but he wants to bomb everybody. And you know what? Why not just do business with him? That prevents them from going off and committing atrocities or trying to take over other nations because they have billions or even trillions of dollars at stake in business. So they behave because of it. Trump's doing the same thing with Syria. John Bolton's on mainstream media, I think it was with Anderson Cooper, talking about how Trump should never have signed the Syrian deal without looking into this and looking into that. John, we've been looking into this and looking into that, and it's the same old argument. Well, I agree with doing it, just not how it's being done. Okay, they use that as an excuse to do absolutely nothing and continue to receive revenue from the military-industrial complex, both in their campaigns and their own personal finances. That's what they do. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's financial manipulation for personal gain. That is it. But not him. He's already rich. Doesn't need it. He's already worth $12 billion. He doesn't need anything else. He's good. He could sell Mar-a-Lago right now for $1 billion. He doesn't need anything. It's fully paid for already. So international laughing stock? No, the laughing stock are the people saying that he's a laughing stock. All right, let's go to the next one. Guther Eagleman video. The UAE just awarded President Trump the Zayed Medal, the highest honor in the United Arab Emirates. Play it for me. All right, Aaron, I want you to go and find me the video of Joe Biden receiving the Zayed Medal.
Yep, I can't.
Okay, Aaron just said he can't find it. You know why? Because he never did.
Nope.
There it is. Again, can you side by side what you got right there? How are you the laughing stock of the world when you're receiving their highest honor? And as Aaron just brought up, the crown prince of Qatar named Trump the president of the world. I thought we were a laughing stock. I thought we had no international respect. As Donald Trump, again, how are you a Democrat? How are you Hakeem Jeffries? How are you Chuck Schumer? And Chuck Schumer actually goes on the Senate floor and claims the opposite of everything that's happening. And imagine being a Democrat that believes the sewage being spewed out of Jeffries and Schumer's mouth. Can you believe that? Don't you thank God every day you're not a Democrat, that you sit there and you believe the sewage being pumped out of the pie chute of Hakeem Jeffries, which is the opposite of everything that's really happening? And then he claims to be somebody who's going to govern misinformation as he's the purveyor thereof. Amazing. All right, let's go to the next one. Captain Kyle video. And this is the way you make get the. Why did Trump, Aaron, just side by side that for me real quick, just so everyone can see what I'm saying. Why did Trump suddenly lift all sanctions against Syria? Here's why. Play it for me.
Breaking news. Trump didn't just lift sanctions on Syria. He fired a shot at every global institution that thought they still ran the world. No UN approval, no congressional vote, just one handshake, and 10 years of isolation vanished. For over a decade, Syria was locked out of the global economy. Now, Trump opened the gates with a single move, and this wasn't charity. It was calculated disruption. In return, Syria, backed by Gulf funding, is launching a new AI energy corridor. That corridor bypasses Chinese ports, redirects European oil flow, and places Washington, not Brussels or Beijing, back at the center of global infrastructure. Trump didn't send troops. He sent business plans. And for the American people, cheaper oil billions in defense contracts, one less endless war draining your wallet. But beyond politics, one thing is clear. Trump didn't wait to win back the White House to start acting like he owns the map. You might not like how he plays the game, but when was the last time foreign policy actually paid off for you?
And then you have John Bolton, like I was saying earlier on CNN with Anderson Cooper, criticizing this deal. What is John Cooper? I mean, again, what has John Bolton ever accomplished? Can anybody, I mean, again, if you're going to give advice on international affairs, are you going to give it unwelcome, unasked for, unsolicited response, unsolicited advice to the president of the United States? Shouldn't you have a track record of success? Where has John Bolton ever succeeded in anything in life? All he is a multi-million dollar advisor being paid through the military industrial complex. That's who he is. So he wants constant wars. He's a little skinny little shrimp who couldn't do one push-up, but yet wants to send our sons to go and fight wars. Because he doesn't care. Again, it's just like a leftist, because he's a leftist. It's just like a leftist. It's their policies never touch them until they do, and then they change. When they finally, that's why you saw record turnout for Donald Trump in the black community, the Hispanic community, because the Democratic Party policies of the open southern border invasion finally reached their doorstep. And like, we have no jobs. Democrats are doing nothing for us. Our neighborhoods are being taken over by Venezuelans and Guatemalans and Tren de Aragua and MS-13. It touched them, so then they changed. That's what it takes for a Democrat. Sad that that's the case. It's almost like a Doubting Thomas scenario. But here's the thing. It's sad that it takes that way, because you ought to be able to read right from wrong. You ought to be able to do that. But a lot of people just don't do it. And it's got nothing to do with race. Believe me, I know, because I pastor a church of almost all white people. There's a few black people that come here, but almost all white people. And throughout the years, I've seen lots and lots of white people who cannot discern right from wrong, or can't read fruit either. You shall know them by their fruit. You know what? If it doesn't work, stop doing it. I really never understand people. And then they defend their rotten tree that produces either no fruit or bad fruit. And then they defend it like a defense attorney. Why? It's not working. That's what I don't get with the Democrats. I mean, you look at what happened in the economy under Biden, and you're still going to claim that he was a success. Donald Trump's current inflation rate is 0.2%, 1.6% overall over his first 112 days. And that was the exact same interest rate he had when he left office. So the only thing that blew up the interest rate, I mean, I'm saying interest rate, inflation rate, change all of what I just said to inflation rate. The only thing that blew that up was 4 years of Joe Biden, where we went as high as a 9% inflation rate. How do you defend your record as a Democrat? How are you John Bolton saying, you know, he shouldn't be taking that plane, and you know, there was no specifics on the Syrian agreement to lift sanctions. Okay, we have they're opening an AI corridor, which is turning their entire economy into a Western-based United States economy instead of a Chinese-Russian economy. And John Bolton says it needs to be better negotiated. Better negotiated by who? You, John? You have never accomplished one significant negotiation in your entire life? Not one time have you ever actually come to a significant negotiated agreement in your entire life. But yet here you come, John. Here you come again with your stupid mustache and your inability to do one push-up or pull-up and your grand ability to launch us into the next war. What has the man ever accomplished? Absolutely nothing. Therefore, you ought to look at yourself and say something needs to change. I'm obviously wrong, since I've never accomplished anything significant in my entire life. All right, speaking of significant accomplishments, here's another one for you. Armand Klein video. Is that where I'm at, Will? All right, President Trump, we are the hottest economy. Play it for me.
Hottest country of the world right now. And 6 months ago, they were laughing at the United States, but they don't laugh anymore. This is Boeing, and this is General Electric.
Mr. President, thank you. And it's an honor to be here. We're thrilled about the commitment that Qatar Airways has made to both Boeing and GE Aerospace with the largest wide-body order, really, in our company's history, over 400 engines. Yes.
Well, Mr. President, first of all, thank you for your support. This is a major order for us. All of these aircraft will be built in the United States, creating a significant number of jobs, and I know that's a key mission of yours.
We have the chip companies coming in from Taiwan. We have Jensen, as you know, coming in with $600 billion. We have actually the biggest company of them all. You know all about it. Eight coming in. That was a big Mr. Wei spending over $200 billion. Apple's already in for $500 billion, but they're going to be upping their production. This is a record tour. There's never been a tour that will raise, it could be a total of $3.5-4 trillion. This just in this 4 or 5 days. We've gone from a laughingstock 6 months ago to the hottest country anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's just the great flip-flop, but it's really not even a flip-flop. What it is lies versus the truth. So when they were saying that Biden was accomplishing all these things, he was accomplishing the devastation of the United States economy, $37 trillion in debt, adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 to 120 days, something along those lines. So, and of course, with his wanderings and his falling down, his inability to speak, the laughingstock around the globe, war starting, Abbey Gate, $86 billion worth of equipment left on the ground in Afghanistan, making the Afghanistan army the 26th largest army overnight between Germany and another country, overnight, just like that. That's being a laughingstock. Killing American soldiers for absolutely no reason. That's that. Is being a laughingstock, and the families certainly are not the ones laughing. War starting in Ukraine, war starting in the Middle East, the Houthis kicking our military's butt, which is absolutely laughable. And the only reason why they were is because, as usual, Democrats defang the military and don't allow them to respond. That's why we end up in the endless Democratic Party wars like Vietnam and like Korea, where we could actually win in 6 months with ease, Vietnam, 6 weeks with ease. But no, you don't let them off the chain. So they just sit there. But what does it do? Feeds Democratic Party and Rhino Republican campaigns and their own personal coffers through the military industrial complex. That's the point of all of it. And like Donald Trump said, we were a laughingstock. And now Boeing, this is, by the way, it's a pretty big company right here. Boeing / GE.
Yeah.
Billy having the biggest order in their history, building 400 engines and 200 planes. What again, Eric? Can you roll the film of all, roll the video of all those deals that Joe Biden secured?
I can't.
Okay, there aren't any.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine again, and I know this is redundant, but imagine being a Democrat. What do you have to run on? What do you have to tear down Donald Trump? What do you have? He took a free plane, so we just got $500 million for nothing. That's what you're going to tear him down for? We just got a free 747. You're going to tear him down for that? What are you going to run on? Imagine you're going to stand outside of an ICE facility and you're going to try to check on the well-being of rapists and murderers. And if that's not good enough, you're actually going to fly down to El Salvador and try to bring one back that's been deported. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You know, you want to continue to spend $50 million in Bangladesh per year for circumcisions. That's what you're standing for as a Democrat? Why you want to continue to slaughter the unborn and lop off penises, breasts, and testicles? That's what it means to be a Democrat? Amazing. So anyway, she was talking about how in the prior video, she's talking about how Apple has already invested or is going to invest $500 billion into the United States economy. Special situations video. I have told Tim Cook that I have problems with you. Play it for me.
Apple, as you know, is coming in. And I had a little problem with Tim Cook yesterday. I said to him, Tim, you're my friend. I treated you very good. You're coming in with $500 billion, but now I hear you're building all over India. I don't want you building in India. You can build in India if you want to take care of India, because India is the highest, one of the highest tariff nations in the world. It's very hard to sell into India. And they've offered us a deal where basically they're willing to literally charge us no tariff. So we go from the highest tariff. You couldn't do business in India. We're not even a top 30 in India because the tariff is so high, to a point where they have actually told us, I assume you too, Scott, you were working on that also, that there will be no tariff, right? Would you say that's a difference? They're the highest, and now they're saying no tariff. But I said to Tim, I said, Tim, look, we've treated you really good. We put up with all the plants that you built in China for years. Now you got to build us. We're not interested in you building in India. India can take care of themselves. They're doing very well.
Aaron, again, can you find me all the videos of Joe Biden speaking to major corporate executives and giving them orders and basically telling them what you can and can't do in the United States economy? Nope. Can you find me that?
Nope.
Okay, because that's what you're supposed to do as a president. Now, Tim Cook, he can't make them do anything because that would be totalitarian. But what he can do is simply say, you know what? We've helped you. And by the way, just so everybody knows, it's not just a matter of Donald Trump is letting them build factories or anything. It's got nothing to do with that, really, because all the factories going to be built are all going to be under state laws, not federal laws, for the most part. There'll be, you know, various environmental things and whatever else. But here's the reason why. Because Apple is done without the United States government. Facebook is done without the United States government. The Twitter part or the X part of Elon Musk, the Twitter X part of Elon Musk is done without the federal government. That's a sad thing, and I don't have time to get down into the depths and the positive and negatives of that, mainly negatives, because the reason why they're done is because right now, Zuckerberg is facing oblivion in the EU because they're trying, and this is why you had Donald Trump use tariffs to pull Keir Starmer back into the realm of democracy by saying that, you know, we're not allowed to push all of these trans LGBTQ woke speech requirements and ban people and all those different things going on. Well, that's what they're trying to do with Zuckerberg. And Zuckerberg is a worthless pile of steaming human feces. I can't stand the man. He's banning us right now. I can't stand the guy, and all I do is tell the truth. But anyway, so the reason why is Donald Trump, we have to have a government that's actually fighting for free speech because Zuckerberg is facing a multi-billion dollar lawsuit from Ursula von der Leyen and the European Union because they want to be able, same with Elon Musk, because they want to come in and police mis- and disinformation on the platform. They want to be able to come in as a government, European Union, and police mis- and disinformation. Imagine those that spew and are the purveyors of mis- and disinformation are going to be the ones who come in and police it. Obviously, it doesn't mean they're going to police it. It means that they are going to continue to spew it. And then cut down, what they're going to do is come in and take out all the truth and substitute it with all bold-faced Ursula von der Leyen EU lies. So that's why they've got to have, and what's happened with this over time is you've had these NGOs come in and actually work with those foreign governments to ban speech in those various countries. With the National Endowment for Democracy, you know, different outfits like that that get billions of your dollars every year. They actually go into foreign countries and manipulate their governments to sue United States governments and United States companies into speech banning and speech concessions. What are you saying, Tom? That we are actually funding the banning of speech in violation of the First Amendment? Absolutely. That's what CISA is inside of the United States of America. Remember, run by Chris Krebs, who said it was the most secure election in American history in 2020? That's what it is. I mean, we pay for our own censorship, for us to be censored. Not for them to be censored, but for us to be censored. That's why they have to have it. So he can use that against Apple because he'll be like, you know what, the United States is not going to stand up for you. Because he can use tariffs to open markets. For Apple and Cook, he can open markets using tariffs and other economic manipulations. So yes, have it. So what he's telling Cook is, you know what? If you really want to have that glorious market in India, you might want to play ball. Yeah, I want to again. Aaron just can't find any videos of Biden actively working in the economy. It would just be again my favorite thing: generalized statements. generalized things. We're working hard at this, and we're working hard at that. We're trying to do this, and we're trying to, they never accomplish anything. We're watching. We are watching live, just about live or live every day, watching Donald Trump actually do work, actually accomplish things, while Democrats only put out vague generalities about what they want to accomplish that you would never want them to accomplish, but they actually never do accomplish it anyway. All right, Insurrection Barbie video. So it turns out this whole guitar 747 gift is a way different story. Isn't that a shock? It's like George Floyd was a way different story. The pandemic was a way different story. The vaccines were a way different story. The Russian bounty story was a way different story. The collusion story was a hoax. The Ukraine war is a hoax. I mean, it's all, I mean, Slava Ukraine, Ukraine, good guys, Russia, bad guys, that's all a hoax. They're both not good. So anyway, this whole 747 gift from Guitar, it's a totally different story than what's been told. But luckily, we have Jake Tapper, the man who just wrote a book called The Original Sin. So about the cover-up of Joe Biden's mental decline, of which he was a part of. So I don't know how many chapters Jake takes up in the book, because he should definitely have a Jake Tapper chapter titled How I Participated in It and how I Facilitated the Cover-Up as a Goebbels anal puppet shoot stenographer for the Democratic Party in the Biden administration. That's funny. I'm sure that chapter's not in there. But luckily we have Jake Tapper on top of this situation. But luckily, Mark Wayne Mullen decides to be a Republican today, because sometimes Mark doesn't. Most of the time he does, probably has a good liberty score. But Mark, for some reason, has trouble being a Republican 365. But anyway, Insurrection Barbie video. So let me get this straight. The plane that was a gift from a guitar was actually a conversation that was started a year ago by the Biden administration. Weird, isn't it? Play for me.
Treaty of the United States. Take a 747, but here's what's interesting to me. What the media isn't telling you, what no one's talking to you about, is this same 747 has been in negotiations for a year. The Biden administration is the one that started these conversations. It didn't start with the Trump administration. Why? Because we need a backup for Air Force One. Because right now, the President of the United States is flying around on a 40-year-old plane, and there is no backup for it. The backup we had, the airframe started having structural issues. No one's discussing that part. They're just discussing that the deal ended with President Trump. Maybe the media doesn't know. Maybe I'll give them a pass. Maybe you didn't know. I'll give you the pass. I'll give you a pass on that one. But the fact is, this conversation started with Qatar.
So this is how it works. And Aaron and I were just having the conversation while we're watching the video. Aaron's like, why don't we just buy one? You can't. Aaron ought to know this because he's Mr. Tech. And like, I mean, there was a time period where you couldn't buy squat. You know, you had to wait, you had to order it, whatever it is. And we still get this when you want to, if you ever want like speakers, right, really good ones, LED boards behind you, whatever it is, you want good stuff, you got to order it. Well, it's the same thing here, is that you can't just go buy a 747. You order a 747 unless somebody already owns one. So, and how many people own a 747? Will doesn't, I don't, Aaron doesn't, do you? We don't own 747, so it's very difficult to just order one. So there was negotiations going on about an existing 747 that Joe Biden was going to buy that Donald Trump got as a gift. That is the epitome of the comparison between the Biden administration and the Trump administration. Joe Biden wants to buy it for $400 million, and Donald Trump has it gifted to him for nothing. That's the difference. I mean, again, what does it mean to be a Democrat? You spent $400 million on a Boeing 747, and we have it gifted to us. There's a difference between us and you. So that's probably why it happened, because you can't order them. Look how great Boeing, and again, Boeing's having a good day, and I hope that they do well, but Boeing has not had a good track record, really, over the last 2 years, as we've shown numerous videos of various parts flying off their planes. So they've not done really well themselves. But they are good for them, American company, a lot of American jobs. Glad, because it's GE/Boeing. So I'm glad they're getting all these contracts, but they've absolutely sucked on getting an Air Force One built, because they're supposed to build two of them, by the way. And they built none of them. And they were ordered prior to Trump's first administration by Obama.
Yeah.
There it is. Boeing is under a $3.9 billion contract to deliver two modified 747-8s. for Air Force One, but delays have pushed delivery to at least 2027. Holy. So anyway, so Aaron just sent me that. So they were ordered under the Obama administration. So I mean, let's just guess. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say 2016. Even though I don't know how we obviously can go back to 2008. But I mean, so let's just say 2016. So 9 years later, they can't build a freaking plane in 9 years. And then Trump renegotiates and gets the price way down. Of course, there it is once again. Joe Biden is going to buy a 747 for $400 or $500 million, and Donald Trump has to give it to him. So again, and then so Obama way overpays for it. Donald Trump renegotiates it, gets the exact same plane with all the same stuff for a much lesser price, and Boeing still doesn't deliver it. So in all of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 and a half of 25, nothing from Boeing, nothing. So Trump takes the 747 so they can retrofit it as either a backup or or as an Air Force One. And there's all sorts of different accusations about it going into Trump's museum, which Reagan has, an Air Force One in his museum. Trump using it post-presidency. I haven't heard any of that from the Trump administration. All I've heard that from is from Ben Shapiro and the left, which Ben oftentimes, he's like Mark Wayne Mullen. He struggles being a Republican every day. Pimping and whoring vaccines, deciding to criticize Donald Trump. A lot of times it reminds me of this, with whether it's Shapiro, whether it's any of these other people. And I think Ben Shapiro is a legitimate right winger with mega faults. But it reminds me of when the Tampa Bay Rays were this awesome organization. I mean, in the playoffs every year as a small market franchise, small budget, everything else, but they made the playoffs every year under a manager by the name of Joe Maddon. And there was a local radio host who would just endlessly criticize the guy. I'm like, okay, they absolutely sucked and never came within 30 games of the playoffs for Joe Maddon. Now they make the playoffs every year and you criticize them? That reminds me of all the people that criticize Donald Trump. There's things to criticize him for. And when he does something, I will do it. But you don't overall talk about, you know, the failings of the Trump administration. He's putting his successes right in your face. And I haven't heard the Trump administration say they're going to use this plane post-presidency. But there you go. So, I mean, the whole thing is this deal was going on for this plane long before. It was going to be in the hands of the United States government. And now Trump got it for free. This was a deal that was being worked out by the Biden administration. Where's the mainstream? Aaron, you got to pull up all the videos of the mainstream media talking about the deal that was being done under the Biden administration. Yeah, yeah. It was never being done. I mean, it was never going to get done probably, but it was. They were definitely talking about it. And Donald Trump gets it for free. Here's a fun one for you. Moving towards the border now. Paul A. Cipulla video. Milwaukee Judge Hannah Dugan is now facing 6 years in prison. Play it for me.
A Milwaukee judge who was arrested in her own courthouse last month has now been indicted by a grand jury. Judge Hannah Dugan is accused of helping a man evade immigration authorities. Prosecutors allege that she allowed this man, who is in the U.S. illegally, to exit through a jury door before he was ultimately arrested. She's now facing two charges, including obstruction. Judge Dugan's lawyers say she maintains her innocence. If convicted, though, she faces up to 6 years in prison.
Oh, Gail, it's not just that she let her go out, let him go out the door. Let's just sum this up really quick in 60 seconds. What you had here was a court hearing because he was facing domestic violence charges, just like Kilmar Brego Garcia. So here we had another illegal who beat the living crap out of his spouse. So he's facing either an injunction hearing or his criminal trial. I believe it was just a hearing, though. And ICE was sitting there in the area where you can watch the trial. She no like it. So she didn't like, Hannah Dugan didn't like it. So Hannah, it wasn't that she let him out the door. This was a hearing. He's actually in custody. This is a hearing. He can't leave the building. He's in custody. She asks, not asks, I'm trying, I don't know all the judicial terms. She commanded the defendant's attorney and the defendant into her chambers, ordered them into her chambers, and then escorted them to the door to avoid the ICE agents sitting in the audience area of the courthouse. Not let them out. No, you can change the word let to led. Led them out, called them into her chambers to secrete them from the border ICE agents and then took them to basically a secret door where she let him out, and a foot chase ensued, which put everybody's lives in danger. So she, listen, how more treasonous do you get? How more obstructive do you get? It is felony obstruction of a federal agent. That's it. There's nothing to discuss here. If this goes to a real judge and not a leftist bourgeois elitist judge, then she will be found guilty. I don't think she'll get 6 years in prison. She should, though. I mean, imagine using your powers as a judge to secrete a criminal from federal agents, let him out the door, and a foot chase ensued. What if they got in a shooting? What if they had to tase him and he cracked his head on the concrete? She should spend 6 years in prison. She can cry all she wants. All right, let's look at this. This is interesting stuff. Rep Anna Paulina Luna, House leadership, again, I want to set this precedent. I am a lifelong Republican. I do not believe in a third party because it won't work. I believe we need to take over the Republican Party. Take it over via precinct committeemen, precinct captains, whatever it is. We need it. That's all through the Bannon War Room, MO. But the Republican Party is not us, and we have got to understand. I don't care what they sound like. You know, I like John Kennedy. I like him, but the man never does a frickin' thing. I like him. He has great one-liners, and I'll play him. And I like him personally. The man never does the frickin' thing, never does anything. I mean, they all say, oh, we, you know, because they want to make sure they try to just surf a political wave so that they stay in favor and stay in power. And how you stay in power is to stay in favor with those who currently are in power, real power. So, I mean, some of them misread it, obviously, but anyway. So they never actually accomplish anything. And I'm not saying John Kennedy is at this level, but a lot of them are absolutely leftists. Again, Aaron has run the liberty scores of these people, whether it's Thune. Thune, our Senate Majority Leader, votes with us 49% of the time. How exactly are you a Republican when you vote for Democrat, when you vote for Democratic Party policies and initiatives most of the time, 51% of the time? Cornyn was, I think, his liberty score is like 51%, so he votes with Democrats 49% of the time. So these people are not real. That's why we're $37 trillion in debt. If we had fiscal conservatives in office right now, I mean, not in office right now, but if it actually been true fiscal conservatives, I mean, I'll just use my political lifetime. I think the first race that I ever voted in was either 88 or 92. I was eligible in 88. I'm not sure if I voted in or not, but I definitely voted in 1992 in the losing election of George Herbert Walker Bush when he lost to Billy Clinton. That was my first one, Ross Perot, all that. If they were legitimate conservatives being elected during those from 92 to 2025, how are we $37 trillion in debt when we've been in power just as much or more than they have been? Because that was the contract with America, Newt Gingrich revolution in 1992. How? Or 1994. How? How in the world are we $37 trillion in debt? Why is there even any question? Why are Republicans questioning cuts at HHS? Why would you question them? We're $37 trillion in debt. You're spending this money or these expenditures at HHS, DHS, whatever you want to name, Department of Education, even the military, are going where exactly? Where's this money? But in military, at least you have some tangible assets. Where's this money being spent? We've gone over and over and over it. $60 million a month for a building that nobody's in, and Republicans don't want to cut that? You know, like Tom, some of them have come out and said, you know, we're in favor of these DOGE cuts. Okay, but they didn't know about it prior to they're reading the budgets. They know nobody. They know the 6% of Washington, D.C. shows up for work every day. 6%, nothing's really changed. By the way, it's still the same way with notable exceptions, but nobody comes to work. These are basically old school union jobs that are paid for via legacy union memberships and nobody shows up to actually work. But let me show you this. So Rep. Anna Paulina Luna, House leadership has once again canceled votes for the week. Why? What are they busy doing? What exactly are they doing? Further delaying our efforts to codify Trump's agenda. So it would appear to me that Mike Johnson is doing the exact same thing the Democrats are doing, which is delay, 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 delaying the Trump agenda. The left is using lawsuits, 250 of them now filed against Donald J. Trump, according to Steve Bannon. And that, so the left is using lawsuits because they don't have the power in the House and the Senate. I hope they don't get it in the midterms. So the left is doing lawsuits. So you would think that the right would be trying to codify these Doge cuts and this agenda from Donald Trump, but they're not. They're participating in the same delay tactics. Who's running that? Mike Johnson. And we can blame it all on Mike Johnson, and he deserves all the blame because he is the House majority, is the Speaker of the House. But it's all the other Republicans too. And I told you this, out of the 535 members of the Senate and House, 12 maybe are good. I'm telling you, we need an absolute Republican revolution. I don't want a third party. It will not work. It won't work. We need to win over the Republican Party. What are they doing? So go to the next one for me. So, and this is what they send out. Now, oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. Can you flip it back to the one before? Now, look at the date on the one before, May 15th. Now go to the new one. Thank you. Now, this was sent out 2 days before. So they're taking the rest of the week off, and they're telling you and I that we need to get off the sidelines. That's from House Republicans. That's from Mike Johnson. That we somehow or not, look, I never, ever put the likes on the tweets. Have you noticed that I included it there because I wanted you to see the ratio? 5.6 million views of that. Look at the ratio. Whenever you have, and I don't know how many of you are on Twitter, but whenever you have the heart, that means a like. So it got 6,000 likes and 21,000 comments. So basically almost four times the amount of comments than likes because all the comments are negative. That's being ratioed. And they aren't, by the way, I looked at them, they're not positive. Telling us to get off the sidelines when you're taking another week off and another week off. They just got back from a four-day weekend and now they're getting another three-day weekend. Just got back from, why are they not working to codify all that Donald J. Trump is doing over his first 112 days? Well, they might fail. I don't care. Do your work. Fail or succeed, do your work. And they're not. Why? Because Johnson is a leftist. Nobody says right-wing things. Of course they, listen, would you believe that they're a Republican if they didn't say right-wing things? They say right-wing things, but don't do right-wing things. They say right-wing things, but they don't do right-wing things. What's Johnson ever done this right-wing? Aaron, can you think of one thing?
No.
I can't. What's he ever done this right-wing? Tell me. He's made some good arguments. He slammed the globalists a few times in here. Yeah, okay. But Donald Trump's accomplishing, and he's not supporting and codifying the accomplishments. So was it all just a verbal show so that he secures a seat? See, it's all about this. I want you to understand that it's all about securing seats. If Johnson holds a seat in a Republican district, then a legitimate Republican can't have the seat. That's the point. They're occupying. That's what they're doing. But Johnson looks like a Christian. He's got the conservative look. Doesn't matter. He doesn't legislate like one. He's fully funded Planned Parenthood numerous times. He's refusing. They should be going after the court system right now from Congress. Donald Trump can't do it. What do you mean go after the court system? Tom, if you impeach these judges like Jeb Boasberg, it's not going to work because it's not going to pass in the Senate. I don't care about impeachment. Do you ever hear me talk about impeachment, impeaching judges? Do you ever hear me talk about it? I don't. Why? Because it's a waste of time. What you do is defund them. Who funds the federal judiciary? The Congress. Defund them. Well, we can't. Why? Tell me why. You absolutely can. Who can do that? Mike Johnson. Who doesn't do it? Mike Johnson. Why? Because he's actually on their side. He's actually on the Democratic Party side. No spy is good that looks like the country that they came from. If you're a spy during World War II in America and you're a German and you're walking around with a swastika on your sleeve, you're not going to be a very effective spy. You're going to need to look and act like an American. While betraying America. That's Mike Johnson. I'm telling you, it's not just Mike Johnson. Out of the 535 people on Capitol Hill in the Senate and the House, 12 of them are good. 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever. I'm just making the number up. It's less than 20 are decent human beings. The rest of them are personally enriching themselves. That's it. Via fame or actual money. That's what they're doing. Telling us to get off the sidelines? These are people that just got off a four-day weekend, are going back on a three-day weekend, and just basically canceled all votes for the week. And they keep doing this. And by the way, this isn't the first time. We put one up, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks ago, where they canceled all vote for the week. They canceled all votes for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get off the sidelines? No, they need to get off their butts. All right, one, this is my favorite video of the night right here. End tribalism and politics video. After opening statements, the first Senator RFK called out was Senator Patty Murray. She accused him of denying care to one of her constituents. Play for me.
Mr. Secretary, one of my constituents, her name's Natalie Phelps. She's a mom of two from Bainbridge Island in Washington State. She has been fighting aggressive stage 4 colorectal cancer for nearly 5 years now. Her best hope now is a clinical trial she's participating in at the NIH Clinical Center. She flew out to NIH a few weeks ago for her first appointment, and her care team there wanted her to come back in 4 weeks to start treatment. But because of the thoughtless mass firing of thousands of critical employees across NIH and HHS that you carried out, Natalie's doctors at that clinical center have told her they have no choice but to delay her treatment by an additional 4 weeks. Now, an extra 4 weeks may not sound like a long time, but I will tell you, for stage 4 cancer patients like Natalie, this could mean the difference between life and death. Secretary Kennedy, how many staff have been cut from the NIH's clinical center? I want a specific number.
I can't tell you that now, Senator Murray. What I can tell you is that if you contact my office tomorrow, I'll look specifically into that.
Well, that is not acceptable. I want an answer back by that. She deserves it. I do it. She doesn't have much time. She deserves an answer back.
And wouldn't you rather get her into that clinical trial as fast as you can?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Kari, if you contact my office tomorrow,
you are here to defend your budget. I'm here to ask you questions about the impact of that.
Well, you asked me about a specific case that I want to help with. I don't think anybody. I don't think that should happen to anybody.
Okay. Well, what have you, and I mean you personally, done to assess how those staff cuts are impacting patient care? She is one of many. What have you done to assess that?
I provided the guidelines that said we shouldn't. That no clinical trials should be affected by the cuts. I have, Matt Mamoli.
Mr. Secretary, I just have a short amount of time. They are impacting clinical trials.
You asked me a question. Do you want me to answer it?
I want to tell you, you need to know this. You're here to defend the NIH budget, which...
Yeah, do you want me to answer your question?
Well, I want to...
You want me to answer your question, Senator?
I tell you that Natalie is sitting there waiting for treatment.
And I'm offering to help her, but you don't care.
Mr. Secretary, you don't care
about Natalie.
I reclaim my
time. I've offered to help Natalie.
I am asking you a question, and it is critical. You are here to defend cutting NIH by half. Do you genuinely believe that won't result in more stories like Natalie's?
I think the cuts that are now proposed by NIH are going to hurt. I think that President Trump, listen, there's no agency head in the government like myself that wants to see their budget cut.
And I asked you, have you personally assessed what this is doing to patients? And I am telling you one story of one person, it is impacting life or death situation. I think it's...
You want me to answer your question, Senator?
Well, you did.
Oh, I have not. You have not allowed me to answer it.
Well, I will just say that it is...
See, Patty Murray is just the epitome of all that's wrong in Washington, D.C. She asks a question, but she doesn't want any answers. She doesn't want any solutions. You have RFK Jr. say, you know what? I will right now make sure this woman gets the care she needs. And she didn't even care. Patty Murray doesn't care about Natalie Phelps. She doesn't care at all about this. And by the way, when it's asked about, she said, Patty Murray, the mass firing of critical employees. Tell us what, she said mass firing, again, grand generalities that somehow has landed wrong with this one person. But first of all, we need to prove that it actually has landed wrong with this person, because all these people do, like Patty Murray, is obfuscate and lie for her own personal political gain and financial gain. She, you know, you have RFK Jr., the head of HHS, telling you, I will take care of this woman. And she just blew right past it. If it was me, if it was Aaron, if it was Will, if it was you, we would have gone, okay, you absolutely have it. I will call you 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we will make sure, and everybody in there is a multimillionaire, we'll fly her up to get into this trial.
Yeah.
And that's what would have been done. And she has no interest in that. All she is interested in is political propagandizing about mass firings. Name the mass firings. She said mass firing of critical employees. Causing a four-week delay. Show us that. Prove it to us. Remember, it's, again, vast generalities. Who are these critical employees that were fired? Name them, please. Name them. In what areas were they fired? Name them. She can't, because all she's trying to do, again, it's just, it really is so simplistic. All she wants to do is do whatever it takes to be a senator and profit off of it for the rest of her life. That's all she cares about. Doesn't care whether she destroys the United States economy, which, again, is always funny to me, bringing up the point I always bring up, that, again, you're wanting to personally profit off of the United States government. You want to personally profit off of the United States economy, an economy that you're destroying, and that all your profits will later then disappear. So while you may profit today, you'll have nothing tomorrow. I never understand why people will destroy, you know, basically kill the golden goose. While it is, you're sitting there, you're scoring political points so that you personally profit while destroying the very profit source. And all your dollars that you're profiting of, that you are gaining today, that you are adding into your account today, will be meaningless tomorrow because you've destroyed the U.S. dollar through your policies. I never understand these people. I really don't. So I would love to see specifics. And just notice how when the help was actually offered to the person, she blew it off because she's a monster. She's a baby butchering, lopping off of penises, testicles, and breasts monster of a human being. Responsible for 40 to 50 million abortions a year. That's who she is. And she allegedly cares about human life. She would abort any human being. Man, woman, trans, gay, or anything else. She's a monster and allegedly cares about one of her constituents. She'd gladly abort any of her constituents. All right, jumping off of that, let's go to trans for a minute. I always have to show you these videos because it's absolutely hysterical, and this is what Democrats stand for and what Democrats support. Caitlin Wheeler video this past weekend at a high school track meet in Pennsylvania. Male Sean Luce Allen stole first place in the women's 200. Play it for me. You see the guy? I mean, everybody can see the guy. And keep doing it, Aaron. Back it up. We keep backing it up. I mean, everybody can see it. Imagine being a Democrat in 2025 means you just ignore what is absolutely freaking obvious. There's the guy. Look at the guy in comparison to all the women. It's absolutely obvious. Let's just, here we are. We're, I don't know, they're 100 yards away. There's the guy. Look at him. And by the way, imagine how sucky you have to be. Imagine how sucky you have to be to barely beat girls by this much.
All right.
As a guy. If that was a real athlete, he would have beat those girls by 50 yards in a 200-meter race. But that's how sucky he is. That's why he's competing as a girl, because he can't compete as a guy. All right, let's go to the next one. Lives a TikTok video. New, another male runner from Jefferson Junior High School. In Illinois, of course, under J.B. Pritzker, was allowed to compete in the girls' division of the Napier Prairie Conference track meet. Let's see how that went. Play for me. Aaron, side by side. Yeah, just keep doing what you know. There you go. I mean, obviously a guy. And here's another one. Look at all the girls. falling behind it. Perfect. And again, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You just ignore all this obvious evidence. You notice, you just ignore this just obvious abomination. You just ignore it as a Democrat. You have idiot parents of these girls that are way behind this man, this boy running in a girl's race. I mean, obviously a guy running way different than any of the girls. Look at the guy. Roll back. Look at how he runs. Look at him in a different, and now watch the girls. Do any of them run like this? Look at him. I mean, women are awesome, and God's no respecter of persons, but men are faster. And he's a post-pubescent, fully penised man. Look at the guy. Hey, all right, now switch to go to the next one, the pick of them. Here they are at the start line.
Oh, my God.
Aaron, can you blow that up? Just having him just blowing up, like, right in the middle where he's at. I mean, there, perfect, right there. Look at, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, again, to be a Democrat in 2025, you're okay with this? You're okay with just obvious ridiculousness? An obvious abomination? Look at the little girls in comparison to the muscular dude. Absolutely. I mean, again, to be a Democrat in 2025, you're just living in absolute delusion and oblivion. Or you're just living in absolute cowardice because you're afraid to call out the obvious. Boy, girl. Boy doesn't compete with girl because boy always beats girl. And eventually you're going to have no women's sports because all of these guys are going to be the women's champions that get recruited to colleges and the Olympics. It's going to be a trans Olympics. There'll be trans, all the people competing in the women's events will be the guys who can't compete in the men's events. That's it. It's going to be all men in every event. Well, that's going to take a while. How long is it going to take? These videos keep popping up. It's more and more and more and more. Basically, it'll happen in the blue states first, where everybody, you'll see it, whether it's the University of Illinois Illini, all of their female track athletes eventually from J.B. Pritzker's Illinois are going to be men. Because it'll be the men that can't make the male track team. That's what it's going to be. I would never do it. You would never do it. But there's lots of people who go, you know what? I can get a full scholarship as a female. And they'll just keep their penis, and they'll be having sex with girls the same as Leah Thomas. Imagine Leah Thomas's world. It was Yale swimmer or whatever it was, whatever he came from. By the way, Leah Thomas to this day is a fully penis man that dates women. He flexes back and forth between being lesbian, which means he's a woman who's fully penis that dates women. So he's a trans woman who's a lesbian, or he's a trans woman who's straight, which means he would be dating men, which no man's going to date this guy. He has whiskers and a penis.
Which means he's gay.
Yeah, right, which means he then would be gay instead of, right. Well, not if he's trans, because then he'd be a hetero trans. This is what it's all meant to be, because he's identified as a woman. So if he dates a man, he's in the trans sense straight, even though he's having anal sex with a dude. Oh. But anyway, sorry, Will. But this is the future. University of Penn. Yeah, I knew it was one of those. That's where Leah Thomas came from. Who, by the way, imagine the deal that he had in life. So he's having sex with women, showering with women, watching women undress, all of them swimmers, so they're all like beautiful women. And that's the life that he led. You wouldn't think any perv would take advantage of that, would you?
No.
Of course not. I got to show you this sad story, but I got to show you. I don't mean to end on a sad story. But it's not sad. There's like, Will, I'm sorry. We're skipping ahead to Colin Rugg, two orcas. Colin Rugg, two orcas. Skipping ahead to that. There we go. I have to show you this. I want to get this out to everybody. I'm an animal lover. I want to get this out. Like and share. Get this out. I don't care whether you have a platform of yourself or a platform of 5,000 people or 30,000 people. Send it to as many people as you can so that we can get money directed at this, because these animals need to be rescued. Colin Rugg video, two orcas and 12 dolphins. Play it for me. All right, so you saw the names on there and everything else. Like and share, get this out, make financial contributions, whatever it is. Animals are animals, they're innocent. And it's just like the idiot Tanandar, who was impeaching Donald Trump. That idiot, his lab shut down where he's doing experimentations on animals. We had beagles and monkeys in there. He just left them all in there. Now that, I mean, absolutely left them in there for different groups. And a lot of them leftists that went in and arrested and rescued those pets left there by Tanandar. The man who's is righteously impeaching Donald Trump. This guy, literally, he just shut the doors to this laboratory. We had beagles and monkeys and left them in there with no air conditioning, no water, and no food. I guess he was going to come back later in 30 days and clean up all the skeletons. These are absolutely just hellish, demonic people. And those dolphins in that tank right there full of algae, and there's 12 of them living in a tank that's not fit for even one dolphin to live in, ever, because none of them should ever live in a tank. None of those orcas should ever be in captivity to begin with. But they need to be rescued. They are innocent. They are innocent. So let's like and share. Get this out. Let's make this thing go viral and shame the country of France until every one of those animals is either set free. If they can't live, they can't live in the wild, then put in the right sort of captivity situation where they will thrive. All right, love you guys. Appreciate you. Rumble Rants tonight. Texas Billy, $25. Nate Dad, $20. Tony Nuthead, $10. Chopper Supernut, $5. Perry Heather, $125. $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Love you. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. You're going to love it. So stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.